This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Always don't mean a thing if you ain't got that swing.
Hi, I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor. And why are we playing It Don't Mean a Thing If You Ain't Got That Swing? Well, Justice Anthony Kennedy is the so-called swing vote on the U.S. Supreme Court. And once again, he didn't swing. He voted in lockstep with his ultra-conservative and other Roman Catholic friends, five of them on the Supreme Court, in a really, really bad decision approving sectarian prayer before government meetings on Monday. So this show invokes no supernatural authority. We're just using the natural airwaves. And we welcome you to a 42-minute respite from a religion-drenched government. And it's nice to be among free-thinking friends. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And I'm Dan Barker. I'm your co-host of Free Thought Radio, sometimes called the friendly neighborhood atheist of the airwaves. Yes, Justice Kennedy could learn a lesson from those Mills brothers who opened our show today. Today's show is originally broadcast on May the 10th, 2014, in Madison, Wisconsin. We also broadcast in other states around the country, and you might be listening to us in California or in New York or in Michigan or in Missouri or in Texas, or you might be listening on the podcast.
Free Thought Radio is the weekly production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, a group that was actually founded back locally in 1976 for the express purpose of protesting clergy-led prayer at the Madison, Wisconsin City Council. And my mother and I stopped it, and then other people joined us, and we work to educate the public about non-theism and to educate the public also about the need to keep religion out of government. And we sue, we litigate. The Greece case was not our case, but we have many, many complaints about governmental prayer.
To balance some of the depressing news this week, we're going to have some comic relief in today's show. Our guest on the second half today will be Leanne Lord. She's a popular, award-winning stand-up comedian. You might have seen her on Lifetime's Girls' Night Out or on ABC's The View. You might have seen her on Comedy Central. She was on Premium Blend and The World Stands Up. She was on Comics Unleashed with Byron Allen and the original HBO Def Comedy All-Star Jam. Improper Magazine named Leanne Lord one of New York's 10 hottest comics, and she's an atheist, and she will be on today's show.
On the second half, so stay tuned. Now, we're sure that you did catch all the news coverage about the Greece New York Supreme Court decision, but in case not, here's a report out of WNEM Saginaw, Michigan. It summarizes the ruling from the perspective of a community where FFRF has complained about governmental prayer very similar to that challenged in the Greece New York case.
A decision made in the nation's capital is reverberating back home in mid-Michigan. The U.S. Supreme Court deciding today that limited prayers are allowed at public meetings. More than 2 months ago, a Wisconsin-based organization challenged Saginaw's policy of holding a prayer before city council meetings, and that tradition is safe, at least for now.
If you have ever attended a city council meeting in Saginaw, this is a familiar sight.
Good evening and welcome to tonight's city council meeting. Tonight we'll begin with a prayer and pledge with Councilman Fitzpatrick.
The nation's highest court ruled that city councils don't violate the Constitution when they begin sessions with a prayer.
Many people have challenged that, but with the new decision now, we're able to have an opening prayer at our meetings.
City Council has been opening its meetings with a prayer for decades, but those opposed to that say by doing so excludes them from the governmental process.
You should include all citizens. You should not embarrass people who are not of a certain religion. You shouldn't be asking people to rise and stand and recite a blessing to a deity they do not believe in.
Annie Laurie Gaylord is from Freedom From Religion, the organization that challenged the use of prayer at public meetings.
Government officials take an oath of office to uphold an entirely godless and secular constitution, and the framers of our constitution did not pray when they adopted our secular constitution. So why do city council members need to pray over, you know, variances and liquor licenses?
In Saginaw, Sherry Hardman, WNEM TV5.
And I should clarify that FFRF has a complaint ongoing in Saginaw, Michigan, but the Greece and New York case was taken by Americans United for Separation of Church and State. But we're very proud that one of FFRF's members, Linda Stevens, was the atheist plaintiff, and she joined Susan Galloway, the Jewish plaintiff, and they had encountered very dogmatic prayer before the Greece New York town. Since 1999, the city has actively solicited and scheduled and hosted Christian clergy at monthly meetings, and they were dismayed and discomforted at this practice, and that was totally dismissed by the Supreme Court.
And we're trying to get Linda for next week's show, if we can. She's very busy right now. Did you notice the mayor of Saginaw saying, admitting, many people have challenged the prayer, but we're going to go ahead and do it anyway. So here's the mayor knowing that there are uncomfortable citizens sitting out there who don't like the prayer, who feel out like outsiders, and yet now we can go ahead and make them continue to feel uncomfortable.
So this wasn't just a blow to the Constitution. It's really a blow to the stature of those of us who are unbelievers or non-Christians in our community.
So what we can do about it? You know, it don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. We were not surprised at the four conservative justices who kind of walk in lockstep. Social scientists have called this a kind of in-group bias that you have. You can't see the world outside of your own little world. We were hoping Kennedy would have swung the other way. Linda Stevens, what can she do? She sits there. The only thing she can do is keep her eyes open. You know, that's the only protest she has during that meeting.
And then what are her chances of prevailing at whatever favor or request or variance or whatever? You know, usually you go before your city hall because you have a problem that needs solving. You need sympathy. You don't need to alienate those people in your government.
So we were hoping that Kennedy would have had his eyes open to this problem. And Justice Kagan, of course, wrote a scathing dissent against this decision. The other four justices really thought it was a bad decision. But Kennedy said, oh, well, we need to ceremonialize and solemnize these public meetings with some kind of gravity. In other words,
what's the matter with, if you have to do that, a gavel?
Yeah, or just saying, let's take this seriously. But in Kennedy's mind and in the justices' mind, the majority, to solemnize, gravity in their mind equals God. The only way you can have gravity is God. And some of us think that God isn't gravity. Some of us think God is levity. I mean, it's not a serious thing to a lot of people to have somebody else's God prayed to. So one way we can fight back in the meantime, before a future enlightened court reverses this bad decision, is that we non-believers can have our own equal time, free thought invocation. And to that end, the Freedom From Religion Foundation has announced a contest, a Nothing Fails Like Prayer contest. If you live in a city that prays, you get to have equal time. And Kennedy even said that. The prayers can't disparage or discourage or eliminate others. You can ask your city to allow you to give a free thought, atheist / agnostic / secular, whatever you call it, non-religious invocation, and if you'll videotape it, we're having a contest. And what's the prize?
Well, the one that's the best, or maybe the two that are the best, they'll get an all-expense-paid trip to our annual convention, which this year is at the end of October at the Millennium Biltmore Hotel, which is gorgeous in Los Angeles, among many distinguished speakers there, and a plaque and $500. And everybody who participates, who's eligible, will receive a certificate, a special certificate that's suitable for framing as a thank you for helping to secularize our government. And I did want to say that we, FFRF, had a very strong amicus brief in this case pointing out that judges need to get on with the changing demographics in this nation, where 20 to 30% of us today are non-religious. And that's a lot of people to offend. And we also got to this so-called historical argument, pointing out many things, including that the framers of our Constitution never prayed once during the Constitutional Convention that went on for 4 months, was very hotly contested. They never once needed to invoke a supernatural power.
At least not formally. Yeah. A couple of them might have prayed before they came, but they didn't pray. They didn't have prayers.
No, Benjamin Franklin suggested it, and they adjourned for the day, and he noted that in his notes. So there was a bad precedent in 1983, the Marsh case, that had a narrow exception for legislative prayer that was non-sectarian. But what the High Court has done in this case is make Marsh much, much worse. We wanted them to overturn Marsh, and instead they really dug in their heels. My mother, the principal founder of FFRF, has many sayings, and one of them is, "Nothing feels like prayer." And Dan turned that into a song, and we have a bumper sticker, and that's what we're calling this award. And we point out that cemeteries are full of people who pray to live, and wishful thinking cannot suspend the natural laws of the universe. And the answers will not come from above. The many answers we need to run our government and to save our planet will never come from above. They have to come from us, from human ingenuity, determination, compassion. So we think pious politicians need to get off their knees and get to work. And Dan, you have a song about that.
If you find yourself to be a resident of the Capitol or of the City Hall, as governor or mayor or as president, you're a public servant to us all. You were not elected as our pastor-in-chief, and preaching on the job is not a perk. Govern us with reason and not belief. Get off your knees and get to work. Get off your knees and start thinking. The answers will be found right here on earth. Unbow your head and open your eyes. Get off your knees and get to work. It makes no actual difference what you say to God. He may as well be Santa or an elf. Every time you bow your head and pray to God, you are only talking to yourself. If you run your office with sobriety, your First Amendment duties you won't shirk. Everyone is tired of your piety. Get off your knees and get to work. Get off your knees and start thinking. The answers will be found right here on earth. Unbow your head and open your eyes. Get off your knees and get to work. Faith won't fix the budget. Prayer won't pay the bill. Hope will never nudge it. But taxing churches will. Get off your knees and start thinking. The answers will be found right here on earth. Unbow your head and open your eyes. Get off your knees and get to work. Get off those knees and get to work. Get off your knees and get to work.
So that was Dan singing Get Off Your Knees and Get to Work. And maybe you would like to play that to your local board. And if you want to get a hold of it, it's on iTunes or it's on FFRS' newest musical CD, Adrift on a Star.
It don't mean a thing if it ain't got that swing. Stay tuned. We're going to talk about a little more news, some billboards that are going up. And in the second half of today's show, we're going to speak with the well-known, popular stand-up comedian, Leanne Lord. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
How many centuries will it take us before we realize there are no magic forces in nature, no watchful eyes in the skies? A single plow is much more effective than 100 prayers a day. the hands that help are better far than lips that pray. Nothing fails like prayer. Nothing fails like prayer. Use your mind and you will find that nothing fails like prayer.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor here with Dan Barker, who wrote and performed that song, Nothing Fails Like Prayer. And that's our response to the very bad decision by the Supreme Court this week on governmental prayer. And speaking of the government getting entangled with religion, just a quick news update before Dan gives us some good news. He's here with me. And that is that Montana's Attorney General this week has teamed up with the American Legion, which makes you believe in God to be a member as a vet of American Legion, filing a front of the court brief before the Ninth U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals against FFRF's challenge of a shrine to Jesus on federal property in Montana. And this shrine was placed by the Knights of Columbus, an ultra-conservative Catholic men's organization that works very hard to curtail birth control and abortion for women. And they erected this statue in the 1950s. They got a special permit from the federal government. They've never paid a dime for the lease, and they have established their Catholic statue on federal property. So we are appealing that decision, dismissing our case before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. So another entanglement between government and religious groups.
Well, the good news is you probably know if you've been listening to our show that the Freedom From Religion Foundation has a campaign for non-believers to come out of the closet featuring billboards, real billboards on the highway in the cities. We've had them in Madison, Wisconsin, in Columbus, Ohio, in Tulsa, in Raleigh, North Carolina, Phoenix, in Nashville, in Portland, Spokane. Last fall, we had 55 billboards up in Sacramento.
That was fun.
And now, the 10th city that we have a lot of billboards going up in is in Ohio. 11 friendly and thought-provoking billboards featuring members of the Freedom From Religion Foundation and its chapter, which is called the Northern Ohio Freethought Society, are going up this week around Cleveland and Akron in a month-long campaign to introduce area atheists and agnostics to their communities. They feature the faces, friendly faces of local atheists, agnostics, and freethinkers, along with their own self-chosen words that they pick for the billboard, their own testimonials. The chapter said, "We just want to let other non-believers or those on the fence about their religious belief know that they're not alone and that the local non-theist community is both welcoming and growing." Ronnie and Elliot Berenson said on their billboard, "Doing good is our religion." They are octogenarians who describe themselves as grandparents, atheists. Marnie Huber Taborski.
Can we say Ronnie is very well known in the community and nationally as a social rights activist, and she was a survivor of the Holocaust who got out of Germany and came to our country as a young girl in 1941. So we're very honored to have her as part of the campaign.
Well, and they still look quite young and active in their on their faces on this huge billboard. Marnie Huber Taborski, she's the chapter director. She's pictured with her husband Mark on a billboard at Harvard and East 17th in Cleveland. And their billboard says, "We are awed, A-W-E-D, we are awed by nature, not the supernatural." An artist and humanist chaplain named Miguel Moore, his billboard featuring his smiling face and his words, "Freedom comes from within, not without." It's at Broadway in Brookdale in a city called Parma. Students with the University of Akron Secular Student Alliance are featured on two billboards in Akron. Craig Bauman, Austin Morgan, and Anderson Freese, their billboard says, "You are not alone if you question everything." Three other students, Tommy Panic, Shamari Fields, and Austin Meredith, are featured on a billboard at Case and Kent Street in Akron. And theirs says, "We don't believe in any gods." So chapter activists participating in the campaign include Sam Salerno. He's a bricklayer and an atheist who says, "Not immortal, just a caring mortal." Dave Huntsman of Peninsula, he's an aerospace engineer. On his billboard, he says, "I believe in science, reason, and secular values." So research shows that we're Atheists and agnostics are still at the bottom of the totem pole, but we can help change that popular misconception.
Bottom of the totem pole in social acceptance, and that's because many people have never knowingly met atheists, so we are acquainting the Ohio community with some of them. And who's our guest coming up?
We're going to be speaking with Leanne Lord, a popular, very funny, in fact, her website is veryfunnylady.com. She's a New York City, and you've seen her on the Comedy Central. Leanne Lord is a stand-up comic, successful. I'm Dan Barker with Annie Laurie Gaylor. Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
Show business like no business I know. Everything about it is appealing. Everything the traffic will allow. Nowhere could you get that happy feeling when you are stealing that extra bow. There's no people like show people. They smile when they are low. Yesterday they told you you would not go far. That night you open, and there you are. Next day on your dressing room they hung a star. Let's go on with the show.
And that's Ethel Merman singing the Irving Berlin song, There's No Business Like Show Business. Irving Berlin, as regular listeners to our show know, was a non-believer, an agnostic, a secular humanist. And his birthday is this week. His birthday is tomorrow, May the 11th. So let's go on with Free Thought Radio. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor.
And today we have on the phone with us someone who's in show business. She lives in New York City. She's performed at comedy clubs in actually the same neighborhood where Irving Berlin lived and where he worked and where he built a theater. Leanne Lord is a popular award-winning stand-up comedian. Leanne's been seen on Lifetime's Girls' Night Out, on ABC's The View. She's been on Comedy Central with Premium Blend and The World Stands Up, on Comics Unleashed with Byron Allen, the original HBO Def Comedy All-Star Jam. I had to cut so much from her intro. There's so many things on here. She wrote for the pilot of The Chris Rock Show, and she has a weekly humor column. It's called The Urban Irma. It's the longest-running column on StageTimeMag.com. She won the New York City Black Comedy Award for the most thought-provoking black female comic. She's performed all over the world, North America, Europe, the Caribbean. She even performed for U.S. troops in the Middle East. She's a regular on the Fox online show, The Strategy Room.
And she's on the Speakers Bureau for African Americans for Humanism. Leanne earned her bachelor degree in journalism and creative writing from Baruch College, City University of New York, CUNY, and she's a member of the Winters Writers Guild of America East. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Leanne.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Now, I think we should tell listeners, because they're going to want to look you up, that your name is spelled with some really classy, totally superfluous silent letters in it. Tell us how you spell your name.
Yeah, my parents got a little creative with me. It's L-E-I-G-H-A-N-N. It's Leanne. And that's actually why I tell people that my website is veryfunnylady.com, because that's way easier to spell, especially if I'm performing in a comedy club and they've been drinking half the night. That the silent G-H, they'll never get it.
Well, you are a veryfunnylady.com. You came to our attention when we opened the book, A Better Life, you know, Chris Johnson's book of photographs of atheists and their life. You are in there, a gorgeous photograph of you at, where was that, at the comic strip?
Yes, that was at the comic strip in New York City.
And there you are in a book about atheist personalities. And I think I must have seen you on something, some HBO show or something, because you look familiar. You're quite a rising star. But you were raised Catholic and you're now a non-believer.
Yes. That's generally the path. That's how it goes, usually.
Yeah, that ex-Catholics are the largest segment of our organization's membership.
Well, before we talk in depth more about that, You say something about that in one of your shows. You did a routine at the Broadway Comedy mm-hmm. Club. And here's this little excerpt of you talking about Knocked Up by God.
Because you can tell I went to Catholic school.
Yes, I did.
And I was raised Catholic. My parents converted to get a break on tuition. That's how that worked out. And here's the deal. I have religion class every day. There's still stuff I don't understand, y'all. Like, I still don't understand Mary. Didn't she mess it up for women? How many times in human history can a young, single girl come home pregnant and say, God did it? I'm thinking if she could be the Virgin Mother of God, I could be the Virgin Mother of Tyrone. Some of y'all are looking at me right now like, you going to hell. It's okay, I'll be fine. There'll be priests there. Just let it marinate. You know, I actually have a friend who can't take communion because she has a wheat allergy. She's allergic to Jesus. It's like body of Christ. I got a doctor's note. Philosophy class in college, and they said that religion is just belief plus time, which is scary, right? Because given enough time, anything can be a religion, right? Star Wars could be a religion. May the force be with you, and also with you. Thought about, thought very strongly about becoming a Buddhist. But then I read that Buddha left his wife and baby to seek enlightenment. Buddha's a deadbeat dad.
Well, that's a little bit of, I hadn't heard that before, and I'm in the studio laughing. Oh, Knocked Up by God. That's our guest. Hi, Leanne Lord. Pretty funny.
Thank you.
Now, you were interviewed by Christopher Johnson for this book, A Better Life, and you talk about how you were in New York City, I guess, during 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
And tell us about the next day.
Yeah, you know, it was weird. It was actually September 13th. It was, you know, 2 days after it happened, and I, on my calendar, you know, already there was a date at a local comedy club, and I'm like, nobody's gonna be there, you know, but the comic in me never turns down, you know, a spot. And, you know, I went into the city just expecting to commiserate with fellow comics, and there was an audience. There were people there. You know, they, you know, it never occurred to us that people would want to congregate and be entertained, and what, you know, better way to release, you know, some of that tension and that fear. And it's kind of one of those moments when I went, oh, this matters, you know, because, you know, there's always that twinge like, oh, you're doing stand-up, it's not that important, you know, it's, you know, you're just, you know, a well-paid clown, or maybe not. I think clowns are actually better paid than comics, but that's a whole other issue. But, you know, to know that, you know, what I did and what my fellow comedians, you know, did that day and many other days, you know, makes a difference for folks. It was like, yay! It's not rocket science, but I'm still making a difference.
Well, you talked about the healing power of laughter.
Yes, absolutely. You know, and to see it happen there, and that's on a bigger scale. You know, with something that's a national tragedy. But I've had shows where people have come up to me, you know, afterwards, and they just, you know, they feel this connection. And they want to tell you why they're there. It's like, oh, I lost my job, you know, or I've been sick, or I've gotten divorced, or, you know, I haven't been out of the house, I have a newborn kid, and, you know, I'm just exhausted. And people share their stories of how, for a very short time, because it is very short, you know, a comedy show, what is that in the span of someone's life? You know, but for those moments, you let them, you know, laugh about and forget about, you know, their problems. And, you know, I wish we did that more.
It's kind of a therapy, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. You know, I guess I don't really think of it as a cover charge. It's really more of a copay when you come see me. you know, with a little bit of a better guarantee, I think.
But you also say in A Better Life, we're an awesomely talented yet troubled little species that suffers from taking itself a tad too seriously. Luckily, I can help.
Yeah.
That's a great line.
So ridicule or mockery has a place too.
Yes. Absolutely. I mean, I'm sort of from the George Carlin school. I mean, he was scathing, you know, in terms of, you know, pointing out the flaws and always, you know, letting you know when the Emperor had no clothes on. You
and,
know,
and hey, he inspired the Emperor Has No Clothes Award that FFRF gives out. So that's kind of
really?
Cool. Yeah.
He was one of the first. Wasn't he the first?
It's a bronze statuette that's made for us by the company that does the Oscars. It's very impressive, and it's for people who, public figures who are plain spoken about religion.
Wow, nice. So you've given out three?
No, I'm sorry.
I'm teasing.
Oh, that's a good joke.
Quite a few. There's quite a few people like that out there.
But that's great to know.
But he inspired it.
Oh, that's awesome.
So you were raised Catholic. Obviously, you didn't end up becoming a nun. I think I heard you say your dad thought you should do something that involves speaking because you talk a lot, either an attorney or a comic. And so,
yeah. You know, when people always ask me, well, what do your parents think about you doing stand-up? And I'm, you know, one of those freakish people that had a good childhood, you know, despite the whole Catholic school thing. You know, my parents did the best they could. But they were, you know, they were very supportive of my career, and I went to my dad. And, you know, I kind of broke it to him, you know, that, you know, all that money you spent for college, yeah, I want to be a stand-up comedian. And my dad kind of smiled, and he's like, you know, what took you so long? And he generally broke it down to me this way, you know, as you said, anything where you get to talk, you'll be fine. So, you know, my mom and dad were kind of hoping lawyer, but comedian is also kind of fits in there as well.
Well, were you one of those...
Test.
Were you one of those students that was always cutting up the class or making your family laugh?
Yeah, no, I was a very good student. I was a very serious student, which was actually the problem with other kids. I got teased a lot, you know, because I was smart. I had glasses. I had braces. I mean, I was just a walking horror show. And I got tired of getting picked on. I mean, it was really a very Vulcan analytical response going, how can I make this stop? And I thought, well, if I can get them laughing, they'll be distracted, because getting bad grades wasn't an option. My family's West Indian, and it's like anything less than an A, you might as well just go and move. You know, my family, they always say they'll do tuition, they don't do bail. So lowering my academic standards wasn't possible. So I'm like, how do I distract people? And it was laughter. It was, you know, sort of entertaining. So it wasn't to be disruptive in class, you know, and get in trouble, but it ended up not only just taking the heat off of puberty, but it was actually a great way to make friends.
We're talking with Leanne Lord, the popular stand-up comedian. You've seen her on TV. You might have seen her at a number of New York City comic clubs. And when we come back from the break, I want to ask her about some of her social commentary as well. She just doesn't make you laugh. She also makes you think. I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie Gaylord.
Stay tuned for more Free Thought Radio.
This is Free Thought Radio with your hosts, Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor.
I'm Dan Barker.
I'm Annie Laurie.
And that happened to be an Irving Berlin song we came in with, Pack Up Your Sins and Go to the Devil in Hades.
And it's his birthday this week, and he was a non-believer.
On May the 11th. We're continuing our talk with Leanne Lord, L-E-I-G-H-A-N-N, Leanne Lord, if I spelled it right.
Yes, you did.
Or tell our listeners how they can find you online.
They can always find me at veryfunnylady.com, and that's sort of the portal to everything me and all of my exhaustive social media. I'm even on stuff I don't understand, but I'm there.
Yeah, there's something new every week.
Oh,
now, you have an upcoming secular appearance. Do you want to tell our listeners about that?
I do. I'm very excited about it. It's Women in Secularism, the conference. It's the third one, so Women in Secularism 3, which is happening down in Washington, D.C., well, Alexandria, Virginia. May 16th through the 18th, and I will be performing at the dinner that Saturday night on May 17th.
So you were raised Catholic. Something changed your mind.
Oh, you know, I can't say that it was any one thing, although, you know, depending on the time that you speak to me, I'm like, yeah, it was absolutely this. But it was generally things were not adding up. You know, as I started learning and questioning and not getting any sort of substantive answers, I was definitely shoved in the direction of non-belief, since I didn't turn my brain off at any point.
Now, you do social commentary, and also I think you've written something about how your husband is white, and I know you do some jokes about that, and how some of your black relatives were disappointed about that, or how that comes up in churches. You want to talk about that?
Oh, wow, it's so funny you mentioned that, because we were actually not together anymore, so I guess my family was right.
Oh, okay.
No, please don't be sorry. I'm one of those weird people where I don't have anything bad to say about him. He's actually a very good guy. It's just it didn't work out, you know. So yeah, I don't want to blow his chances.
Well, maybe the Baptist Church was right. You know, interracial marriage is a sin against God. See,
well,
more reason to go to hell.
Oh, well, absolutely. You know, as if I needed another.
So you have a long running blog called The Urban Irma, and is that Irma Bombeck? Is that
That is sort of my homage to Irma Bombeck, because I grew up reading her and loved her, but I'm not a housewife with three kids, but I do feel that the writing that I do, the weekly, you know, humor blog that I do was very much inspired by reading her, you know, every week. And as a matter of fact, they named me the Humor Writer of the Month a couple of months ago and brought me out to the conference this year for the first time. So it was very, very exciting to have that partnership with them.
How do you find that blog, Urban Irma?
Yep, it's the urbanirma.com. And you can also find it through, you know, again, through veryfunnylady.com. It is the portal to all things me. But if you just want to go directly to the blog and read some, you know, very painfully funny personal stuff, by all means, theurbanirma.com is where you go.
You said when you were a little girl, it was your life dream to be working, you know, to be working as a professional stand-up comic. And how great does it feel to actually be living your dream?
You know, I don't even have the words to explain. I mean, I knew I wanted to, you know, make people laugh. I knew I could always make my friends laugh. I knew that I wanted to travel, and I knew that I loved writing. And to be able to combine those three things, I mean, to know what you want to do in life is hard enough. You know, it takes people a lot to sort of sometimes figure that out. You don't always get it early, and even if you do, sometimes it changes. And then to have the courage to go after it is a whole nother thing. But for me, I found it was easier for me to go after my dream than to sit in a cubicle. And nothing wrong with sitting in a cubicle for folks. I just knew I couldn't do it. I mean, I did it for 5 years. I had a corporate job. And I actually do highly recommend having a job that you hate. Nothing motivates you better than having a job you hate to say, you know what, I got to get out of here. What's my dream? What should I be doing? So the fact that I've gotten to, you know, travel literally around the world and make people laugh and meet some wonderful, weird, funny people as well. You know, I'm good.
Well, yeah, but you are good, and I think that's it. You have that, whatever it is, that it. For every one of you who's made it, there's 2,000 of them wishing they could. And I've seen a couple of your routines, and you have this ability to just take common life and see the humor in it, and that's a special talent.
Yeah, you know, but here's the thing. I think we're all funny, unless you're a sociopath. You know, most people are funny. It's that little bit of, you know, I don't know, brain damage that says, I want to be funny in front of strangers for money. There's got to be something wrong with you, you know, to make you want to do that. And whatever that is that's wrong with me, I'm glad that I have it, you know. And you know, it's funny, you see that, you know, I've made it. And I'm that workaholic, control freak, perfectionist that's always going for that. Okay, what's the next thing? What's the next thing? You know, that part of me that's almost, you know, never satisfied. So I always have to try to keep that in check and remind myself that, yeah, I am doing a job that, you know, most people would love to do.
But you seem so relaxed up there. You just sort of kind of roll into the next, you know, the next line. Isn't it true, though, that when people laugh, there's an actual drug kick to the brain? When you're standing up there and there's this laughter, I mean, isn't that just sort of wash over you, this wonder?
Well, yeah, it's a two-way street. You know, I'm getting that rush, you know, from them, and I'm creating that endorphin rush.
Yes, there's endorphins.
So we're sort of each other's mutual drug dealer at that point, and no one has to go to jail.
Can I ask, what percentage of your comedy does talk about religion? Is it a common thing, or is it just one routine, or how do you treat it?
You know, it's real. I have to. Usually, depending on the audience, it's almost never something I open up with, because of how religious, you know,
yeah,
this country has gotten. You know, that's definitely something that I have to work into.
So
but
you kind of feel out the crowd.
Oh, you definitely feel out the crowd, and you know, and I've even had people come up to me and go, you know, I don't agree with you, but it was funny, and I'm like, that's fantastic. That's the point.
Yeah.
You don't have to agree with me. You know, but if I've made you laugh, then, you know, at some point I've made you think. And that's the goal, you know, to enlighten and entertain.
Well, thank you so much. We are out of time. Go to
veryfunnylady.com.
And thank you so much.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Leanne Lord, the popular stand-up comic. We also want to thank, as usual, our very capable engineer, Dave McCann. If you want to know how to listen to the podcast or to stream of Free Thought Radio, go to our website that explains it all, ffrf.org/news/radio.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone us at 1-800-335-4021. Your membership supports our podcast and our litigation and our 5 staff attorneys and all of our work to keep religion out of government. Now, we will be upcoming guests include Rebecca Neuberger-Goldstein, the poet, philosopher, and Linda Stevens, the atheist who was involved in the Greece, New York case. So tune in next week for our Rational Radio and Blasphemous Broadcasting.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, FFRF.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.
I hope someday